This is A, and you're listening to The Spiritual Bazaar, an anonymous audio cast by someone on the road to recovery while exploring spiritual paths and the mystery of life. And this is Energy Part 2. And if you have any comments or feedback, please go to the website at spiritualbazaar.com, or you can leave a message, comment on the Instagram page at Spiritual Bazaar. All right, let's pick up where we left off. I think the experiential person, the person who just is open and listens, whether it's from science, whether it's from religion, whether it is your own amalgamation of those things, I think that person and that moment that you can get is the highest thing. It's not what's written in a book. Because if saints can experience it, so can you. We all have brains. Some of them work differently than others. But this amazing organ allows us to experience something that is universal. And for some reason, that universal experience includes a sense of love. Is that just to bind us together as a society? If that were the case, I wouldn't say it's entirely successful. But if it's for you personally to experience something much bigger than yourself, then it can work perfectly. Will there always be murder and wars and evil? Well, probably. Our brains have been around for a long time. But you alone, what can you do? I know I can't go across the world and or down the street and make things better all the time. I can't force people to see what they're doing is wrong. I couldn't see what I was doing was wrong for a long time. And it's the spiritual struggle for me. It's the desire to keep going and to not give up this time and to not give in. I had these little flickering moments that tell me, yeah, you know what? You're doing the right thing. I'm not using anything as a crutch. I do use a recovery program, but as a way of living, not as an excuse to not behave a certain way because I'm afraid that I won't be rewarded. Living in fear will totally undermine any effort I make towards, for lack of a better word, a more enlightened life. And enlightens a pretty heavy word, but I think that in a sense, if I at least strive for that, then I will be a better person. How much better? I don't know. I'm going to keep trying. Right now I have my days where I just... I think I'm feeling better, I think I'm doing better, and then someone says something and calls me out. And reminds me that I'm imperfect. And that's where humility comes in. I mean, humility, I think, is the grounding force to working towards creating a positive life for myself. If I don't have humility, how can I be open to the energy that is a part of what I think is the universe? I can't tap into that energy if I don't keep my humility. And what happens is I usually start feeling better, and then it's easy to sort of forget who I was, who I am, my character defects. But when I just take a breath, just try to clear my mind a little bit, I know it's there. I don't know how to explain it, but I can feel it. Will I ever be able to move objects with my mind? I'm guessing not. But something like Star Wars, it's the fantasy draws us in, but it's the message that keeps us. Why would it keep us? Because we sense that there's a truth behind it. So whether you have issues with George Lucas on his episodes 1, 2, and 3, even still, there is much to be said there too. And when someone calls me out on my defects, I could become defensive, I can become angry. And like Yoda says, anger leads to hatred, and hatred leads to the dark side. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think tonight I will actually start meditating. I think tonight is the night. I've been putting it off, I really have. Other than listening to my New Age music, which makes me feel good. It's nice. It can keep my nerves calm. But if I really want to push myself to start making some serious changes in my life, I have to do more work. And spiritual recovery isn't just me talking about what I think is, or what I want to believe is, or what I think I should do. I have to put in the work. It sounds weird, right? Spirituality and work. When I was much younger, I being a sort of lazy person, I thought that, you know, living a sort of nomadic hippie life might be something for me. That didn't work out. But I also think that I really deluded myself and thinking things will be easy. If I can just get to a more enlightened place, things will be easy. You know, well, I do know that when I'm more in tune with the energy of the universe, things can get easier. Paths could be laid before me that otherwise would not have. But there's always going to be work. There's always going to be somebody who's not happy with you, or disappointed in you, or judging you. But if I have a resentment, then I undo. If I have a resentment against the universe itself, or God, whatever you want to call it. If I have resentment against myself, I have resentment against others who call me out on my imperfections, then I'm undermining my spiritual growth. And it is essential for me. And I want to tap into that energy. I want to have more of a relationship with that energy. It's easier when you go out to the woods or to the forest or to the ocean and you're not working. Maybe you're on vacation. Maybe you're on a retreat. And you can really feel it. And it feels good. When I was in rehab, there was moments where I meditated by a stream or by a lake and or pond, and I'm like, wow, this is great. I'm feeling peace. I'm feeling this really beautiful inner peace. But I didn't have to work. I was around other people where I can share my problems all the time, good or bad. I can talk about whatever. But how do you maintain that connection with the energy when you have the everyday stresses of life pulling you down? Well, one of the steps I took was to put my career on hold, whatever they were, whatever I was pursuing, just put it on hold, because it doesn't matter. If I start running down that lane again, and I'm not feeding my efforts to grow spiritually, a word I'll probably use 1,000 times on the show. If I don't work towards that and put other things aside, then I won't get there. I won't. I do still have a job, and I'm grateful for that. But what I always did is I filled in my time with other distractions. Even something like an Instagram account, which I started with this podcast. I realized I started getting distracted by it. Kind of like, oh, how many likes do I have? Did I get to the 11 likes mark yet? Did I pass that threshold? How many followers do I have? Let me look at other people's pages. Let me check again. I just checked an hour ago. Did anybody else like this? I put these posts up about coffee recently, and I thought they were fun. And then I didn't get so many likes on them, and I started like, oh, man. And then I realized how ridiculous it is. It's really not that important. And it's little things like that. I can easily distract myself, and I can start getting obsessive about other things that are not as important. Because whatever I put before my recovery, I lose. Everything. Up until now, I wavered so much about what it is that I believed in. Meaning, why meditate? Why pray? How much does that really help me? Is it just my mind conditioning itself by repetition? That's true to a point, but when you feel the connection, it's more than just mote repetition and affirmations. I can sit here and do a mantra and do affirmation all the time, but if I don't have the intention and the willingness and the open to connect to the energy that is there that I can feel, then there's no point. Back to science, really fast. I had a conversation with someone recently who watched some video on YouTube and other things, and I'm open to a conspiracy theory. I'm open to the paranormal and to other things like that. But this person was really convinced that the Earth is flat. No joke. Still living in this age. I believe they're in their late 20s. And a really, really great person. But no matter how much I tried to explain how satellites work with triangulation, how astronauts have filmed the Earth from the space station, how other planets orbiting our solar system beyond are round and spherical, they didn't believe it. Why wouldn't you believe it? I think this is where the problem of dogma comes in. If you're holding so tight onto the dogma of something, I think that you're not allowing yourself to grow. And this is where science plays a major role, because the wonder of science isn't out. The actual facts of science itself, I can't speak on behalf of the scientists, all of them, but the actual facts of science themselves are not out there to undermine and to take down religions. Facts, evidence, experience, they're real. And the only reason that you would want to deny that is because you're clinging on to something. And I think clinging can be very dangerous. I remember a couple years ago, Obama had said something about that, and people made a big deal about it. But there's major truth to that. It can be dangerous if you look at your religion in a rock-solid way, that every single word is absolute gospel and truth, then you're not allowing yourself to be open. And if, and I know if I'm not open, if I'm not willing to see what might work better, to what might give me a better understanding of the universe, and in this case I use universe with a capital U, then I will not evolve mentally, I will not evolve emotionally and psychologically. Something to think about. If you disagree, I'd love to hear your comments. You can go to the Spiritual Bazaar website. It's spiritualbazaar.com and send me a contact via email until I eventually get up a chat room. I'm not sure when I'm going to do that. But I know some of the things I'm saying here are probably going to unnerve some people. But I think it's really important. I know it's extremely important to me. Love knows no bounds. And it's not bounded by scripture. And it may very well not be bounded by science. But what we do know is that the universe is made up entirely of energy. And that's a fact. Dark energy. Matter itself is made of energy. The entire universe originally started in something, what, smaller than a pea? That's because there's so much space between the atoms of matter itself. But those atoms are made up of protons and neutrons and neutrinos and quarks, and all the way down to little waves of energy. And everything functions. Intelligence functions on energy, and it seems to me that if the entire universe is made up of energy, and there are various forms of interaction and communication through via the laws of physics, then I think it's entirely feasible that there is a superintelligence. When I say superintelligence, I do not mean an over God. I mean an energy that is alive. It's real. I really believe that. And in a way, it's funny. It's hard for me to say that. Because I always said that with one foot out. But I really believe it. I really believe it because I'm starting to change. But again, no matter how much I believe that, I have to keep an open mind. Because someday I might read something, or someone might tell me something, or I might have an experience that might alter that to some degree. And I can't rule that out. I can't get stuck on my own belief. Because that sort of mentality is exactly what keeps me from living a good, clean, sober life. And so I can say to myself, oh, well, it's okay because it's my spiritual thing, right? I can stick to that. I can cling to that. Because that's what's keeping me alive. That's what's keeping me happier? Question mark. But what I'm doing is I'm allowing my brain to continue to behave in the same patterns. And if I don't change that in all aspects of my life, I'm totally screwed. And that's not what I want. You've been listening to The Spiritual Bazaar. This is A. Speaking of Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram. My handle is Spiritual Bazaar. And I hope to hear from you. Feel free to comment there or on the website. All right. Let the mystery take you. Be well. My heart.
Thank you.